Welcome back, Ashton Bishop. Ashton is an award-winning business keynote speaker and the CEO of Step Change, a strategy-driven marketing agency. As one of Australia's predatory marketers, Ashton is an expert in growing businesses by outsmarting competitors. Ashton's worked internationally on some of the world's biggest brands, running million-dollar campaigns for billion-dollar brands, creating Australia's first mobile app, winning film awards, guest lecturing at leading universities, and of course, winning Speaker of the Year for Australia's number one network on multiple occasions along the way. Ashton Bishop, welcome back to Vistage Live.
Thanks, Steph.
Ash, it's always great to have you here. So we had a conversation before that went along the lines of, what are we talking about today?
Yeah.
And you had a great answer.
Well, what we're talking about today is finally putting to bed the differences between B2B, business to business, versus business to consumer marketing. Because marketing is so fraught with jargon and complexity and people see them as very different. And I think
they were always two very different worlds. And the challenge when you learnt marketing in MBA, whatever, wherever you learnt marketing, was all about B2C. And so you'd always have in your head, yeah, but I'm in B2B. Yeah, but I'm in B2B, so maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't apply here. Mm. Just have events.
And that's the moment, Steph, to really take on to say what does apply, what doesn't apply, and how do we get better marketing no matter what business that you're in.
Beautiful. So where do we start with this?
Well, why don't we start with the question? So from a business owner's point of view, where does it start?
Yeah, well, and my question as a business leader's point of view is where does it start, but where does it end?
Yeah.
Like what do I need to do to get what I fundamentally want, which is more leads, more customers, more sales?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say it starts and ends with a value equation.
Right.
And that's where I think we've gone wrong, is that you said at the start there, wherever you've learned marketing.
Yeah.
And the trouble is that most marketers now haven't actually learned marketing.
Yeah, right. Well, can you learn marketing?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that's a start.
And that's probably the first tension, because marketing gets branded the colouring in department. It's very easy to dismiss it and then it's ineffective. But then we give away our growth engine and we give away our profitability engine, right? And it's a really straight business conversation with business leaders. Do you want to grow? Yes. Well, you need to grow profitably. Mm. I think that the days of, you know, vanity metrics are fast disappearing through the rearview mirror.
But do you think they are?
Absolutely.
Well, I think they should be.
Mm.
Yeah, what do you mean by vanity metrics?
So the vanity metrics are sort of top line. So in a digital marketing sense, visits to a site might be a vanity metric.
Yeah.
The real
click-through rate.
Yeah, but to what, right? So we always, when we track digital, and we've developed two tools. One's called a digital balance sheet.
Yeah.
Where are all my digital assets? Are they connected? How large are they?
Yeah.
Most businesses don't have that. So they can't see all their assets in the digital space. The next one's the digital balance sheet. The digital profit and loss.
Yeah.
Over a monthly period, what clicks convert to cash?
Yeah.
And unless you know that, you're dealing in the world of vanity. Now, revenue itself is a vanity metric. Right,
because it's profit.
Because unless you've got gross margin and it's leading to profitability, you have a runway, and most businesses will run out of runway. And I was speaking to a very smart chap on data and analytics, and pre-COVID SaaS businesses, software as a service, a lot of that's business to business. They were running at 140% advertising spend to revenue, i.e., they're spending more than their revenue to gain customers.
Yeah.
It's now up to 250%. So those SaaS businesses and the SaaS business model requires not just a war chest, it needs a war caravan.
Yeah.
And it's just not coming out of the private equity and VC firms anymore. Well, the venture capital firms aren't doing that anymore.
No, it isn't.
They're not doing it.
But the thing about the SaaS firms, the vanity metrics are what rules.
Used to.
Well, used to.
Yeah. And I think that it's quite interesting now, and it sort of will loop back around to, you know, the best performing shares that I've bought in my portfolio quite recently are Monday.com.
Yeah.
And the reason I bought Monday.com shares was I've used the product, so I have intimate knowledge of the product.
Yeah.
They're beyond $1 billion, so they're big enough.
Yeah.
But their marketing, they actually get it. And we'll explain today what actually getting it means and how I can look at Monday.com and get a 20% return on my shares with confidence, because I know their marketing's driving the engine forward and they're growing, but they're growing profitably. And it comes back to the value equation. So our value equation to anchor back is value is what we get divided by what we're paying.
Right.
And too many businesses wait too long and then start doing sales activations, start doing offers, and they start pulling the price lever without being clear on what they're delivering.
Okay, so this is a lot to unpack.
Yep.
So let's talk about the thing about the value equation is it's really simple.
But not easy.
which is the world, isn't it? The world of business, the world of small business. So how much am I investing in my marketing?
Yeah.
And how much am I actually making as a result?
Yeah.
Now I need to be able to then directly link the sales I'm making with the marketing I'm spending.
Yep.
And that's a hard thing for a lot of businesses anyway, isn't it?
It's a hard thing for all businesses.
Oh.
And you've, in your Steph way, you've got to the heart of the issue really quickly.
Yeah.
And the diagnosis, like we both love strategy, is short-termism.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Go on.
Is businesses go from quarter to quarter. And we saw the businesses that haven't, right, led by the Jobses and the Bezos, right? The Bezos trick shot was the world's lowest cost of capital ever, where everyone's going, I'm going to do quarterly earnings. He's going to go, I'm doing quarter of a century earnings. Right? So that's how Amazon, et cetera, establish big market share. So with short-termism, people want to be able to see that link from click to cash for everything.
Yeah.
So they look to attribution. And the only way to attribute clearly and easily if you're not a sophisticated marketer with attribution modeling is to look to see, did I click on that and did it convert on a sale?
Yeah, that's right.
So people then do search marketing. They do offer-based work. And often they're converting people who were already going to buy anyway. Right? We've talked about the ROAS trap, right? ROAS is another one of those marketing acronyms, jargons, return on advertising spend, right? So a poor media agency left to their own devices, digital marketing agency, will take your spend and will start buying terms in and around your name. So they will start buying terms around Vistage and Vistage member and Vista member and all of that stuff. So they might have listened to your podcast, Steph. They might have been sent that by a friend who's in Vistage and told, oh, this is great, you should listen to Steph. And then they're going online and you've got great SEO, so there's all that content there. Then someone's paying on your behalf to put an ad above that click and you're then paying an extra $3.50 for the click that was coming anyway, and they attribute that entire sale to that ad. And that's the misattribution. So there's 190% over attribution for digital marketing.
And there is, because you can't tell.
You can't tell.
So if word of mouth is one of the biggest sources.
Yeah.
One of the biggest marketing sources for a business.
Yes.
And then someone says, you know, you should buy your washing machine from X. And then it's going to be a trip. Well, you don't know, because you don't know what their journey is to when they finally click on the form, ask us now about our deal or ask us now about.
Correct. And the question then is, how accurate is that even? Because a lot of people confabulate and they can't re-engineer their journeys because they weren't paying attention on the way through. So what we know from marketing effectiveness, and this has
been... What do you mean? Sorry, back to that. Who wasn't paying attention?
The customer.
Because they... Well, because sometimes you might ring someone who's clicked on something and say, oh, hello, you've just clicked on it, and they go, I have no idea who you are.
No idea. And that's part of the problem around businesses sort of fraught with this curse of knowledge, is that most businesses look at their marketing from inside out. i.e. they go, we've got to sell that stuff in the corner, so let's put some ads out and put it on special and take it to market and try and sell that. They don't look at it from customer in. And it's only when you look at it from customer in to some of those realities of how engaged people really are, they're probably not. How novel is it that you're actually – so the things that determine people's receptiveness for message is novelty.
Yeah.
Right? How novel is it? It's probably not that novel. Yeah. It's not new news. How interested are they and how relevant it is? Well, probably not as relevant to the screaming child in the corner or the business call that's coming. Not that relevant.
Yeah.
How skilled are they? They're probably not that skilled.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they're not able to process lots of information. And then what's the environment? So how much time do they have? And people go, oh, it's all on TikTok. How much time do you have on TikTok? Flick, flick, flick. Do you know that people are doing up to – the most exercise a lot of young people are getting is 2 kilometres a day, but it's their thumbs that are doing it, not their feet. Seriously, Steph, they've studied it.
Yeah.
Right? So in that environment, what does good marketing look like?
Mm.
And that's really the question of back to most marketers haven't studied marketing, and those questions to effectiveness come back to principles.
Mm.
And it's like gravity, is that we now have – you know, 350,000 cycles of human evolution to know that even though the technologies are changing, how humans buy isn't.
Okay.
Right. So we make emotional decisions
and
then rational justifications.
Yep.
And one of the first lies, so the first lie of B2B marketing is that B2B is fundamentally different to B2C.
Yep.
Untrue.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, well, within business to consumer, there's sometimes bigger differences than there is between B2C, right? So
because of the diversity of consumers.
Correct. So are you selling a car or a cup of coffee?
Yeah, yeah,
they're quite different. Are you selling Gucci or garbage bags?
Yeah.
Is a Vistage sale a business-to-business sale or a business-to-consumer sale because the individual's joining but the business is probably paying, right? So that's actually –
and thinking also back to my proper B2B days.
Yes.
What's the person you're selling to in the end anyway?
Correct. And that's when there's a person on one or sides both of the equation, we need to revert to what good marketing principles.
Yeah.
Now, the thing around and the need to study good marketing now is that there is – data on marketing effectiveness that we haven't had before that provides ratios of how we should invest. So there's a few differences and probably the content piece that we need to get out today, Steph, to make it, is we need to say what are the differences and what are not the differences around B2B. So the differences from B2B to B2C or the differences in those types of marketing is, first of all, in business to consumer, you're probably selling to an individual.
Yeah.
Or a couple.
Yeah.
Right, that's a problem. In business to business, you're probably selling to a firm with multiple decision makers.
Multiple decision makers. So it's a more complex sale.
More complex.
Yep.
Although one individual may have more of the sway.
Yep.
Or a veto right. The second thing is the sales cycle tends to be longer.
Yep.
Right, and that's the big difference. The next one is that the complexity of the product tends to be higher.
Yep.
And the ticket item or the on average, the size of the ticket is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And that change goes back to where we have psychology come in, is that the net principle that's the biggest difference is that in consumer land, emotion rules and drives.
Mm-hmm.
Impulse purchases, quick decisions, autopilot.
Yep.
In business to business, the final say is rational and logical and spreadsheet and finance and procurement. What they miss is this bit that in business we make an emotional decision first and then justification.
Yeah.
And they miss it and they go straight to the justification.
Yeah, right.
That there, this bit in the middle, Steph, is that we need to win emotionally
first. And that's where they're the same.
That's the punchline. The punchline is that we must win emotionally first in B2B if we want to optimize effectiveness. And that's the bit that 99% of marketers get wrong. And in fact, we've got the latest data from a company called System One that are now able to assess an ad and predict its short and long-term effectiveness.
Mm.
71, almost three quarters of B2B marketing ads are ineffective at driving long-term sales growth or even short-term sales performance.
Because?
Because they're doing ads. Yeah. Remember we talked about the stuff in the corner? There's the stuff, I want to sell it, right? They're taking an inside-out point of view where they're talking to themselves. Let's list the seven products that I need to sell and all of their features and take 20% off the price and done.
Mm.
Not done.
And you get steak knives with it.
What percentage of contact in B2B sales do you reckon is buyer-initiated versus seller-initiated?
In B2B?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the right answer, but I do know that they've done so much research before they ever even talk to you.
83% of the time it's buyer-initiated.
Yeah.
But the sellers go, oh, I need to sell this when?
Yeah.
I need to sell it now. I need to sell. And they're expecting that to come now. It's not how it works.
No.
And if we're working with not how it works, we're fighting gravity. But here's the big data, the big smack punch in the face. Here it comes. 92% of the time, and this is Harvard Business Review data backed up by Gartner, right? Two of the best research institutes in B2B.
Yeah.
92% of the time, before a firm goes to market, the winner of that tender pitch go-to-market process, i.e., I'm going to go and get a supplier to do something, 92% of the time, it's on the short list, i.e., only 8% of the time does a new player make it to the list.
I remember that research from way back.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would indicate the sort of marketing that would be effective then would be highly emotive, memorable marketing that would have you come to mind at the category entry point. I've got the pain point. Not digital marketing that's trying to interrupt you or switch you out in the journey, because the odds against that, you've got an 8% chance of being effective.
So this is back to your invest in brand, isn't it?
Yes, but I'm not a brandy line who goes, oh, it's all brand and brand's fabulous. Right, so I call them brandy lines because they go, oh, it's like you ask a sensible business question. I go, the answer's brand, right? But you imagine you're holding a dandelion.
Yeah, I got it.
And you go, and like they disappear in the breeze, right?
Yes, but I have seen your
outspend versus outspend.
Correct.
Yeah. So the data actually tells us that in B2C, into consumer marketing, the optimal ratio is about 60% of your spend on brand and about 40% on conversion.
Mm.
Why? Because if you're not spending on brand, you're not driving demand. Yeah. You're not coming to mind at the right point.
Yeah.
But if you're not spending of conversion, you're driving into the arms of your competitor.
Mm.
In business to business, it's something like 54-46.
Mm.
It's not fundamentally different, but there's a little bit more on sales activation.
Totally.
Because the funnel's longer, the lead time's longer from when they first find out about you to when they convert, might be up to about 3 years. But it's not brand or sales activation. It's brand and.
It's the integration. So there's a big message that I'm getting from you here, Ash, and it's about you have to be on their mind when your customer is ready to buy.
That's it, Steph. That's the grab, right?
Yeah. And the other bit is if you're interrupting them in their buying cycle, you're wasting your money.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Your chances against. But what you said there in terms of coming to mind when they're ready to buy, there's a whole bunch of science and research from Ehrenberg Bass that backs up your point.
Mm.
It's called brand salience now. Mm. Is that being aware of a brand is not enough, right? Sticking a logo on something is not enough.
They have to know who you
are. We must tie to that category entry point.
Mm.
What brings your buyer into the category?
Mm.
What is the moment where they step from don't care, don't care, don't, and they really don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care, don't care, don't care. Pain.
Yeah.
I'm in the category.
Yeah.
Can I come to mind there?
Yeah.
And the trick shot around that is what we call distinctive brand assets.
Yeah.
How can you become unmistakably you? And there's this tension between these two concepts of old school, new school, and go, oh, you know, marketing's changed. Well, marketing, effective marketing will only ever change as quickly as people change.
Yeah.
Yeah. But differentiate, all of this like differentiate or die or whatever. There's a role for differentiation, but it's not upfront. Distinctiveness comes first.
I love that. And you've been saying that to me for a while.
Yeah.
And I find it very comforting actually, because in most of the crowded categories that we all operate in, it's easier to be distinctive than differentiated.
It's an easier play if you're brave, if you're courageous.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge around the best work often doesn't get bought because they're taking that inside out view rather than the outside in point of view.
So bringing this all around to the idea of the value equation.
Mm.
So with attribution being a little bit that.
It can be. So unless you're very sophisticated, use the principles that are proven. Don't try and do the little hackney job yourself, right? Don't do your own dentistry. You're just going to hurt yourself and get bad teeth, right?
But I'm imagine I'm the persona of a small business owner.
Yes.
I'm running a really good business.
Yes.
I'm growing fast.
Yes.
Fundamentally, I'm a tradie who's made my way up and I'm running a really good business or I've bought a very good business. Yeah. I may not have the tools to or the resources or the wherewithal to sort of bring in sophisticated.
Yeah.
How can I do this? How can I fundamentally figure out, am I getting value for what I'm investing in my marketing? How do I do that?
So use the principles, right? So you go, if I'm a tradie, I am business to consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understand your end customer. So we grew a plumbing business from 2 million to 6 million. It took 1,000 days, but their profitability bottom line went up.
Mm.
Their ticket value went from $350 per ticket to over $1,100 per ticket. But their cost to acquire per lead dropped from $250 to $180. As you grow, expect your cost to acquire a customer to go up, but we worked it the other way. So to answer your question, how did we do that? We started bottom of the funnel. We started at that moment where the customer opens the door to let the tradie in and we go, oh, the dog's going mental. Do you mind if I give it a bone? I've got the branded package bones there, right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I was a little bit, you know, traffic was bad this morning, so I bought you a coffee, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, those sorts of things. Oh, why I'm here, we've got a free audit product where, you know, instead of it being an emergency response, I can get ahead of it. All of those things add up. Mm. Then the Google reviews go through the roof. That costs you nothing. And it becomes an ecosystem. Right? The big danger for that tradie is going, oh, AI is the answer. So I'm going to get AI to start producing all of this SEO content for me. Too often we're looking for the one technique, the one bit of technology that's going to deliver marketing results now. And it's nonsense. It's the same as starting a price war or starting a technology war. AI is not the answer to your marketing. Figure out the answer to your marketing and AI might help get you there faster.
Yeah.
But unless you know what terms you want to add in terms of salience and when you're going to come to market, unless you know your ideal target customer, unless you've got a mix of long marketing brand and short conversion stuff, unless you've optimized down the bottom of the funnel where you know your lifetime value and retention's good, you're starting a war you won't win.
Mm. Mm. So, yeah, it's really good. There's so many points here. Back to this, and this is what we're going to finish on.
Yeah.
As a small business in B2B or B2C, how do I figure out my value equation?
So your value equation really comes down to three things. What's the value that your customers are really seeking, right? Don't sell the product, solve the customer's pain points. Give the customer the value that they want, because that links marketing to sales, right? And that's the other big difference in B2B, is that B2C often just has a checkout. Business to business often has a sales process.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting them linked on all of the pain points and all of the drivers, not selling the product, providing a solution. What does the customer really want? What's true to you, right? Then you've got to say, where are we relatively really strong? And put that front of house. And then where are we different to the competitors? Because while distinctiveness comes up front, you've then got to maintain, right? I had a client come and they'd seen us speak 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Our sales cycle is 8 years.
Yeah.
So distinctiveness up front so you're remembered, but then you need the differentiation so that during the course of that period, they don't go for someone cheaper, that they don't switch out to, you're all just the same. Absolutely not. And that's where the value equation starts. So if the value equation is getting your value proposition clear, it's got to be really speaking to the outcomes that customers want. And when we think about it from a customer point of view, what do they want to know? What's the result that I'm going to get?
Yeah.
How certain are you that it's going to work for me? How long is it going to take? And how much work am I going to have to do, i.e. in terms of time or money? Yeah. They're the things that we really need to answer, not the specifications of it's got an ASIP, triple CD codecs or a BFI or GMY files. Right? All of that's nonsense and noise. Valuable to your customers, true to you and different from your competitors. And getting everyone on the same page so it flows through, that's the trick. Because I can go to a business and I can get the sales and the marketing and the leadership teams and I can get them to pitch and they can all pitch a value equation and they won't get a single word aligned. Or they may get blah, 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 technical, blah, 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 blah. It misses.
So much here to try and wrap up. I think that shift from vanity metrics to really what the value equation is.
Yeah.
Distinctive up front and differentiated all the way through. Yeah. The absolute alignment, everyone on the same page of what they're talking about, and just coming back to that fundamental principle that hasn't changed of making sure you're there when your customer is ready.
And that's it, right? And probably the tension for business leaders, Steph, speaking back to the leaders, is that a leader might listen to this and go, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And then they walk back to the finance department and they go, yeah, but I need sales
now,
right? And if you've got a sales problem today, you had a marketing problem 18 months ago. And people go, but I need the detail and I need the staff and I need the offer. Yes, you do. You need all of that. It's not brand or performance, it's brand and performance. Because while people make an emotional decision first, it does need to stack up and line up. And that's why the value equation needs to go deep into the business, right?
Yeah.
If it barks like a dog and quacks like a duck, people will get confused. It's got to be seamless from click through to cash. And if you don't have the detail, you'll lose people, but you don't win people in the detail. And that's the biggest thing to get sales and marketing coming together for the first time. Because sales will be, it's all about the detail and, right? Mm. Absolutely. If the detail's not right, you'll lose people, but you will never win them in the detail. Emotional decision, rational justification. And here's the punchline for B2B. It's always emotion first. That's what keeps B2B and B2C the same. Always emotion first. B2B ends with a rational justification. But the key word there is justification.
Yes.
That if the detail's not right, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
But if the detail stacks up, you're home and hosed.
Beautiful. Emotional decision, rational justification. Listen back to this again and again and have a pen with you while you're doing it, because so rich, as always. Wonderful to talk to you. Ashton Bishop, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Steph.